Well, Al Vivo is a live album, and it was recorded when we played a concert in San Francisco at a very nice theater that has a facility that you can actually record video and audio. And they offered me to record, and I said, well, let's see how it sounds. But the band, my quartet, we were touring, extensive touring. So when we recorded that night, the band was, well, in Portuguese you say entrosada. Estávamos entrosados. We were really very well, communicating in music, and it was really a great night. So when I heard it back, I decided to release, which is a very nice demonstration, an example of things that we do live. And Ao Vivo is like a celebration of Brazil, of different composers, our rhythms. It has some original music, but the arrangements are tailored to be performed live. So it came out really well, and I'm very proud, very happy to say, I got the news yesterday that it released and debuted at number one in several charts, at Latin jazz, at jazz charts, at Brazilian music charts, Billboard magazine. So it's just really wonderful.
Did you
Would
plan it
you
to be that much rooted in your homeland?
This particular concerts, yes. I have done different shows, but for these shows, the plan was, yes, to bring Brazil to the audience and make the show be as festive and as uplifting and with that vibe, and the authenticity of Brazil.
I know that your musical heritage is very interesting. Because your female line is actually very strong in music, I would say, right?
Correct, correct. I come from a very musical family, especially on my mother's side. So my mother played classical piano. She had a collection of jazz records that were played in the house all the time. And my grandmother lived with us, and she was a composer starting at age 12, and she played the guitar and had a beautiful sound and so much musicality. And then my grandmother's parents were Italian, and they sang opera. They were opera singers. So it comes all from my mother's side. And of course, with the guidance, of my mother looking for the best schools for me, music schools, because I did so well. I loved music. I loved my time with the piano. It became very apparent very early that I had, a special talent, and I was accepted into the best school of music in the country. And I graduated from that when I was 15 and started teaching at the school at that age, as well as, continuing my studies, but teaching as well. And I studied classical piano for the purpose of developing my technique, for the purpose of going deeply into the piano literature and compositions, and but not with the intention of becoming a performing classical pianist. But it was fantastic, because it was improvisation, it was classical music, it was jazz, it was Brazilian music. When I was growing up, Brazilian music was just exploding. The bossa nova was exploding. All these amazing composers were everywhere, on radio, TV. So it was a fantastic time to grow up. And I very early knew that that's what I wanted to do. It was my mother's piano when I started. She had an upright piano. It was a very nice upright piano. I can tell you, it was mahogany. The beautiful
Ooh.
brown wood. Yes, very beautiful piano. And I practiced on that piano so many hours a day, that I can't tell you. Sometimes I would be like 6 hours, and it was so hot. There was no air conditioner. It was so hot. I'm not kidding you, I had like a bucket of water like near me, so that the water would evaporate in the room, you know, and then another one with water and ice, so I would get like a little towel and dry my neck, and, you know, and I really worked hard on the piano and I loved it. And then when I was about 13 or 14, my mother and father got me a baby grand. Oh, and that was a beautiful instrument. I still have it in Brazil. Beautiful instrument. So, you know, you can picture that. You can picture during the Brazilian summer, for example, we had a small house at the beach, very close to the beach, because I'm from São Paulo, the big city. But beach was wonderful, but it didn't have a piano. And everyone in the family, everyone couldn't wait. You know, they all couldn't wait to get to the beach and to go, you know, it was walking, like you could walk 2 minutes to the beach and just enjoy. And I would make my mother crazy that I wanted to practice the piano. And I had my bicycle. And so she found a conservatory, un conservatorio, that happened to be closed during those summer months. There was no one there. And she talked to I don't know whom and whatever, and she got the key. And they would let me go practice in there. And I was the only one inside of that conservatory, again, without air conditioner. And the lights were shut off. And I would say, doesn't matter. And I would stay there, go with my bicycle, and put my books and my things in my in a little basket and just go practice when everyone was at the beach. And what I wanted was to practice. There were times that they had to ask me, please, you know, just go do something. You know, just, you want to go out with your friends? You wanna go? No, I just want to play the piano.
Like, be a teenager.
No teenage. I was never a teenager. I hope I'm not going to become a teenager now and act like one. Because I went from a wonderful childhood. You know, I was really a little kid and I played and I did everything. But from child, I became an adult, you know, because imagine at age 15, I was teaching. I was a teacher. I was driving my own car. You're not allowed to have a car when you're 15 in Brazil. But I looked older and I behaved older and I was working and I had to have my own car and I was driving everywhere. I was very mature. So I didn't have the life of a teenager. Even in school, when I was, you know, in school, regular school, all the kids would be together during the break, you know, the lunch break. And I would be in the room with the teachers, the school teachers, and had a piano there. So I would play for them. All the teachers were smoking cigarettes. You know, it was okay to smoke cigarettes then.
Yeah, I remember back in the 80s in Poland as well. Like, you couldn't walk to the teacher's room without being knocked out.
Yes, but this is the 70s. So I would walk in there, all the teachers are smoking, having coffee, and I would go in there and hang out with them, you know, and play the piano and be with the adults. So I was very different.
Okay, so probably this prepared you for the tour in clubs, because you already...
Yes, it sure did. But then it got to a place, that's a cute story, when I was in Turkey, and everyone smoked so much, you know, in Turkey. And this was in the 90s, and I decided I had stopped smoking, because I used to smoke, and I stopped smoking, and I just didn't want to be in a club, you know, breathing all the cigarettes. So I had to play 4 shows in this club in Istanbul, and I said, I cannot, I will not play, because they go one night to smoke. But I was playing, you know, 100 shows, and you know, what am I going to do with that? So I didn't want to, and the shows were sold out, and I asked the owner at the club to please ask the audience not to smoke, and he was upset with me. But they didn't smoke. And then the next day, CNN came to speak with me, CNN from Turkey. And they said, you don't want people smoking in the clubs, and then why are you doing this? And I said, well, I'm doing this for everybody's health, for mine too, you know. And I was a smoker. I stopped smoking, and I, you know, I took a different method of life and exercising, and I don't want to be breathing, you know, that anymore. And it's not just for me, it's for everyone. So then, although the show was sold out, people started calling, and everyone wanted to see the show. So they had to increase. I had four shows. They had to increase to eight shows because everyone wanted to go to see the this show that, you know, Eliane was playing, and there was no smoking in the show.
That just proves that you are very coherent. If you feel like doing something, you will do it. And if you don't, then you don't.
That's right. The band is myself, Mark Johnson, Leandro Pellegrino, and the drummer is Maurício Zottarelli, a wonderful Brazilian drummer who's joining us from Brazil. So it's three quarters of the band that you hear on Ao Vivo with another drummer, a different drummer. And we are going to play some of the tunes from Ao Vivo and bring some of those, but also some other surprises, you know, some original music, as well as other, you know, you will hear. But I promise you that you're going to have a great time.
You will bring something very important to Poland.
Well, thank you. You know, the music, Brazilian music in general, and especially the type of music that I choose to bring, is joyful. You know, there's a lot of rhythm, a lot of beautiful harmonies, and it's really something that people connect to, and they'll feel a joy, you know, during the performance. And that's what I want. I want everyone to feel happy. And I'm really looking forward to being in Poland, by the way, you know, and I love being here. So it's going to be very special for all of us.
Also, I think that you have a beautiful approach to the rhythm as a pianist and also as a songwriter. Brazilian has this wonderful, I don't know, elasticity, that it can be a language, can be a rhythm itself. You can sing a recipe like Vatapá, and that will be a song immediately.
Well, the language is a beautiful language, is a romantic language, and we have long vowels, you know, with a Vatapá, like you said. So you can say anything and it sounds beautiful. Vatapá is a very nice dish, by the way, from Bahia, very typical of Bahia. And yes, and I will sing about Vatapá. I'm going to sing some songs from Bahia.
Oh, well. I guessed this one.
Yes, so I'll talk Vatapá, Caruru, Mungunzá, and I'll bring some of those, you know, those traditional names of Bahia and songs from there too. It's a very diverse show.
When you compose a song for yourself, it's you and the piano and the lyrics. How does it connect?
Well, in different ways, you know, but normally they just emerge, you know, from a feeling that I'm having at the moment. They're inspired by different things. And because of my, you know, familiarity with harmony, with rhythm, with Brazil, with jazz, with all of that, and the language, I can just let my feelings be expressed once I put my hands on the piano and I sing. Usually the lyrics come pretty much when I write lyrics. They come together with the song. It's not like I write a song and then I try to think about a lyric. Usually it happens simultaneously, you know, the melody, the harmony, and then I will tweak a little bit the lyrics later, but the general idea comes together.